G'day, this is Nurki with another AboveTopSecret.com member podcast. Continuing my podcast thread on Survivalism 101 on the topic of dependencies. In my last podcast, I went over the 6 steps for alleviating dependency. In this podcast, I'll be going over about a dozen of my dependencies, which may be of some use for you people out there listening to this trying to alleviate your own dependencies. First on the list is my mobile phone. I rarely ever actually use this damn thing. It takes up one pocket in my pants and makes my pants feel less awkward. It's basically a counterweight in my jeans. No one really ever actually calls me on this thing. I get a text message every week or so from one of my relatives and occasionally use it in an emergency to tell my lecturer that I'll be late for the lecture or dial up for pizza or something, but I'm such a cheap ass that I rarely ever actually make any calls or SMSs on it. I don't know why I have this thing, it just seems to be more of a habit, but it also seems to provide a bit of mental security in that wherever I am, I can always call up 000 and get the police to come and save me, or I can call up some relatives and get some assistance or something. Leaving it at home doesn't really give it much use, so its urgency is that I always have it on me. Its availability is that mobile phones are really cheap and really easy to steal if you know how, but I'm not encouraging people to do that. Alternatives to mobile phones are to use public phones, which are really dirty and grimy, don't work most of the time, and really overpriced. Or using other people's mobile phones if you can manage to convince them to let you do so. Or using landline phones in businesses, or there's even the lowering dependency option, which is not needing to call people in an emergency situation and getting your friends to contact you via other means, i.e. email, snail mail, MSN, ICQ Messenger, calling you on your landline, or not even bothering to contact you at all, which seems to be my option. The second item on the list is my wallet. Again, because I'm a cheap ass, I rarely ever actually seem to use this thing. It just seems to be yet another counterweight in my jeans. It has bugger all in the way of money in it because I'm a cheap ass, and if I ever get robbed, then I'm not going to be losing much money, and because money is valuable in this society, I don't want to be losing it. It also contains several security access cards, which also work as identification cards for university and various other jobs that I've had throughout the year. It also contains my license and my forklift license and some other membership application scan cards for laser tag, go-karting, etc. I also use it to keep my public transport tickets and the healthcare card which the government provides to me, which I need in order to get discounts on public transport. Without that healthcare card, I will have to pay full fare, which is exorbitant prices on public transport. And if I buy no ticket or a concession ticket without my healthcare card, I'm going to get a huge fine, about $100 or so. The wallet itself is a bit of a luxury. I can carry these cards and money and stuff in my pocket, but it's easier to carry it all in one place. If I leave it at home and I'm halfway somewhere else and I realize I haven't got my wallet, I usually end up crapping myself and completely overstressing and worrying about whether or not I'm going to cop a fine or end up needing my license for something or need to take down someone's phone number or whatever. Wallets are also readily available, as are other alternatives to them, as in using a plastic bag, which brings me to the option of lowering my dependency on having a wallet. The third item on this list is money and currency. For direct survival, this is not a necessity, it is a luxury and a habit out of social interaction. There are other ways to obtain things that you get with money, but they aren't socially acceptable and would be labelled illegal. The urgency for items acquired through monetary means come under their own urgency jurisdiction. The money itself has no urgency, but the items that I can acquire with it have their own urgency, i.e. food, rent, bills, etc. Money is quite readily available through both legal and illegal means, but the legal means aren't that hard to do. You just need to learn how to do it, and do it with a social conscience as well, hence alleviating any guilt from obtaining the money legally. Alternatives to having money are growing food at home, or distilling your own water, or mooching off your family, or having dole handouts from the government, or stealing, which isn't a socially acceptable idea, is possible and fairly easy, but usually lands you in jail if you get caught. Or you can live in a communal society where money isn't needed and everything is homegrown. Another option for money is bartering. Instead of using money as a currency, just use other things. The plan for lowering dependency on money isn't really so much a personal thing so much as getting society to accept alternatives to money and even getting society to lower their dependency on the use of money and its social acceptance. The fourth item on this list is a roof over my head. Shelter prevents shock and hypothermia and other physiological problems. It is entirely possible to live on the land without having a roof over your head, but eventually even animals in the wild find ways to shelter themselves from the weather, i.e. birds build nests, cats spin around in circles so that the reeds and grass can grow in an area around them and envelop them, and other animals live in caves, etc. The urgency for shelter depends on the weather, i.e. if it's extremely hot outside, pissing down with rain, lightning strikes, tornadoes, extreme cold, etc. The availability of shelter and roof over my head is everywhere. There are houses all over the Western world. There are different ways you can obtain these houses or live in these houses, but not all of them are legal. Squatting is legal in most Western countries, but you need to make sure that you know the squatting rights of the nation you are living in, and that there is definitely no one living in there, and that you know your rights so that you cannot be kicked out of the house illegally. You can also live in friends' and relatives' homes, or live in a communal society where you all live under one roof. You can live in caves. You can build a house out of reeds like they do in shows like Gilligan's Island and Lost, etc. Or you can build shelter out of mud, or if you live in an Arctic region, you can build it out of ice blocks, like, it's called an igloo, like what the Eskimos do. My plan for lowering dependency on having a roof over my head is a forced aversion to being inside. I hate being inside, it bores the living hell out of me. I'd rather be outside, playing in the sun, at the beach, working outside, etc. This is more an avoidance of the problem of having a roof over my head. If I find other ways to entertain myself, then I won't be dependent on being inside. I'll eventually get physically used to being outside, and it won't affect me as badly as it would if I spend all day inside like I do nowadays. The next item on the list is fresh water. Fresh water might not always be readily available, but currently in Western society, it is available everywhere because of our plumbing systems. The water that comes out of the plumbing systems is not always of drinking quality, nor is the water in third world countries. Therefore, you need to find out whether or not you can live with the water available, or if you can survive until clean water is available. Usually, you won't have that option. Because the human body cannot live without water for more than a few days, this is of a high urgency. However, fresh water itself is not of a high urgency. There are alternatives to fresh water, but you need to learn how to distill water and how to clean it. There are usually microbes and dirt and maybe even possibly radiological particles that can be in the water which are physically harmful to you. You'll notice that in some third world countries they don't even bother to clean the water because it's the only water available to us. Living in the first world Western countries, we are very lucky to have water with all these chemicals in it that kills bacteria, and filtered water that gets rid of dirt and possibly radiological particles. Alternatives to using the water that comes through the tap and is clean and has the chemicals required to kill biological entities are distilling your own urine, catching rainwater which may have microbes or even be of acidic nature, scooping up still ponds on the ground, which isn't a good option because Mosquitoes like to lay eggs in still ponds of water, and there might be fish and other bugs in there. Or you can use a natural stream, or what's called a spring of water, which comes through a miniature river, which is usually the cleanest source of water because it's been filtered through volcanic rock which has minerals in it, which will actually give it a rather entertaining taste and make it taste better than some of the other sources of water. However, you have to watch out in spring water that animals might die in the upstream or defecate and urinate in the water. You also have to watch out for contamination leaks through industry and other possible sources like bushfires, which may deposit ash into the water. Also, when you're camping, make sure that you wash yourself and go to the toilet downstream of where you collect the water. This should be obvious. Well, this podcast is getting pretty long, so I'm going to end it here and start off another one with the next topics. Well, this is Nurky signing out from another AboveTopSecret.com member podcast. Infinite Global Consciousness.